Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 20 preview. Can you believe Round 20 already? Now, of course, the Olympics are in full swing. We've got our 10-1 multi riding. The Aussies are doing exceptionally well. It's been awesome to cheer on. So I thought I've got to wear my Thailand-bought Socceroos jersey with the emblem peeling off just to show my true passion and patriotism. If anything, I should probably be wearing an Italy shirt to honour them winning the Euros for us, but also cheer them a bit harder because that's what's going to probably cost our 10-1 multi if it doesn't get up. I think the Italians have 14 medals and only one's been gold so far. So we'll see how it goes. Still another week and a half. Hope you guys have been enjoying the games. But the games I'm going to talk about is NRL. And just before I share the best bets, as I always do in the first 5 minutes, I have to give a shout out to our very own handsome Dan Lever, one of the GOAT admins of the Tripod group, been around helping me, helping Alex, helping everyone for several years now. You may know him as for doing several shoeys, for putting his manhood on the line on certain occasions, and I don't think he's ever lost when he's done that. He does many other things you don't see behind the scenes too, so cheers, Dan. Do a shoey for us, brother. All right, let's get straight into the best bets, and it begins with the Thursday night match. I'm going to take the Roosters plus 2.5 points in the first half at $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. Next best available, $1.84 on Top Sport or Sportsbet as well. They're playing the Eels in Mackay. And I could have easily gone for the plus 4.5, which is also $2 on Ladbrokes and Neds. If you like that, I'd suggest that I'll probably drop this line soon after this pod, maybe to 4. So if you like the plus 4.5, it's a solid play too. For me, I just felt the first half was the stronger of the two. I think the Roosters' depth has really been pushed to the limit. They lost a couple more outside backs last week. But in saying that, I think they're at the limit where they're still fielding a strong 17. And actually bouncing off a comprehensive win last week shows me this Roosters team has handled the move north quite well. Playing good footy. This is Warrior Hargraves' 250th. I think that's meaningful, as well as gaining back Takeaho, who was out with a hammy last week. I just don't quite see why Parramatta would be considered significantly stronger than the Roosters, especially when we know they don't have Mitchell Moses. They did struggle a little bit in attack last week against the Raiders. And I'm as big a believer in Parramatta as anybody. I think the packs match up really well. I think that's going to go a long way to deciding this match. And then I think they've both got playmakers that I'm excited to see what they can do off the back of it. A top four finish could well and truly be on the line in this one. The Roosters are only 2 points behind Parra, who has the toughest run home of any team. So I see this like closer to a coin flip match, a great way to kick off round 20. And I don't think it'll be that high scoring either, which makes the points that much more valuable. That's why I like the Roosters plus the 2.5 start first half. Then Friday night, my next best bet gulp is Broncos Cowboys first half under 26.5 points, $1.87 on Ladbrokes, Neds, and next best price $1.86 on Top Sport. I have been very reluctant to play any unders. Of course, the new rules make scoring so much more prevalent. The discipline rules can really hurt a team defensively if they're to lose a man, which can happen any game with no rhyme or reason these days. But what really strikes me when I look at this matchup is just the lack of attacking threats. Now, I'll grant you, of course, Stags for Brisbane, Taulagi for the Cowboys, but when you've only got one or two players that your attack really needs to run through, then I feel the opposition can key in on that. I also think both these teams will be really up for this game because it's winnable and because both sides are feeling that pressure to perform, because it's been a really tough year in 2021 for both sides and for both coaches. Similar to the Roosters-Eels game, again, I think it's one in the forward pack, and I think it can go either way. Also, look at these two sides, Brisbane and North Queensland, and they've been mucked around so much for continuity in their spine. I mean, Brisbane's chopped and changed fullback, the halves every week. This week, Turpin may not even play hooker. He has a fractured thumb. And for the Cowboys, Granville was lining up at fullback last week, and he's named there again. You got Croft versus Dearden, the battle of kind of unwanted halfbacks. I think it's a battle of who blinks first. I could definitely see a conservative start. And at least I have some faith these teams can defend. They both held Melbourne and Penrith respectively to, you know, 20 points or under last week. So that showed some resoluteness. Both these sides were within a try last week to two really strong oppositions. And then the reason I go first half under, while I also lean for this whole match to go under, is simply 126.5 being a key number. There could be 5 first half tries, it could still land 26. But also, when you're getting half of the full-time total, but it's always a little bit more likely that games have more tries in the second half, because there's that greater amount of fatigue and that greater chance of like a string of tries, then I feel it's an even stronger play to just play the first half under. And my third and final best bet for round 20, I'm taking the Titans, -12.5, $1.91 on Sportsbet, $1.90 on Top Sport. You'll see an even better price on Top Sport, which could be available to you as well. And in fact, a little cheat there, I'm taking Titans 13+, which of course is exactly the same as -12.5, but Sportsbet pays 1 cent better. So of course I give you guys that heads up. Take every little edge you can. This game is so big for the Gold Coast. I've spoken all year about how they need to turn their form around, and they've been the ones saying, we just need to string wins together. Well, this is the perfect opportunity. No club has benefited more from the COVID restrictions, the relocations. It's like every game is at Cbus for the Titans, even games that should have been away games. And here's another one where that's the case. They played a Dragons side that was undermanned, that's been reeling ever since their COVID indiscretions, let's call it. So not only did the Titans get that really valuable 2 points that they need to stay in the finals race, they actually played some good footy, maybe got some confidence, and held their opponent to a low score. I see no excuse whatsoever why the Titans can't repeat that effort against a side that is obviously bottom on the ladder and missing arguably their best player in Luke Thompson, who's suspended. So the Titans season is still alive, but this is an absolute must win that they cannot look past, because their next two opponents are Melbourne and South Sydney. So if they can't get the 2 points here, they could be cooked. So I just think we get a max effort from the Titans, and if they're switched on, which they will be, they should dominate that one. Those are my three best bets for round 20. Let me know what you reckon about those. Now, I was touching on the Olympics a moment ago, and I actually asked Tristan to share any bookie insights on Olympics betting, because it's something a bit different, as well as the bookie perspective on round 20. So let's get that now. Market watch from Tristan from Top Sport.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're still on the recovery road after the hiding you guys gave us with the Saturday Slayer bet. It was very impressive. Just got over the line, as we say. So well done to everyone who got involved. It's been a big week for Top Sport, with plenty of Olympic action going ahead. There's so many events. There's been activity on a whole range of events. Our biggest bet we took was on Ariane Titmus in the 200 metres free, 400 metres freestyle, should I say. The first race she won, one of our customers had 50,000 on her at the short price, and she just got over the line. So that was by far and away the biggest result. There's a few mixed emotions in here with the obviously wanting to see the Aussies go well, but then when sizable bets like that, it's a difficult watch at times. There's been plenty of activity. The events we've taken the most action on seem to be your more traditional betting commodities, like your rugby sevens have been very popular, the basketball, the soccer, and the swimming's been very popular too. So that have been our biggest ones. We haven't got any massive liabilities going forward right at the moment. Punters tend to sort of bet in the last period, which is obviously when the liquidity in the events increase and our liabilities increase along with them. So it's been great to sort of be able to see all the different sports on the TV and have people engaged and involved. So the next week ahead is obviously going to shift to the Athletic shortly, which adds another dimension to it as well. So we move from the Olympics to the Rugby League, and we've got a round of football this weekend, which looks a lot closer on paper than what we have experienced in previous weeks. You've got obviously a really good game to start us off on Thursday night, where there's been a little bit of money for the plus, the Roosters plus the 4.5. The Broncos have been well backed against the Cowboys. The biggest plunge of the week so far has been the Rabbitohs against the Dragons. That line's already on the way out from 22.5 out to 24.5, as well as the Storm Panthers. Now, there's obviously a little bit of movement on the back of the Panthers losing a few players prior to teams, but the Panthers game against the Storm opened up at -13.5 to the Storm. It's now out to 18.5 short of the minus. The Storm have been very, very well back. So Jacob actually asked me to touch on what we do for these sort of matches, which have got the wider lines and then the real top-end prices. We offer, obviously, options on 30+ and these sort of markets, which previous years haven't really come into play, but they've been very prevalent throughout the 2021 season. So we tend to model these based on the totals and the expected score and the simulation of games getting to that point. So as the lines increase, as the totals increase, obviously the probability of these things occurring increases, should I say. So that does shorten the price compared to where we would have seen last year. I think the inflation in the totals, which seems to have on average gone up by 10 points, particularly on these lopsided games. So that has kept the lid on those prices as well. There's been a lot of punters backing them. A lot of punters also on the first to 40 or team first to 50, which are at wide odds. We saw that a lot in Origin, and they're the ones where the totals are at a little bit different. So it's trying to assess these and trying to put something in play to be able to combat that. But you're always learning. You're learning every day in this business. So it's an interesting one, and we'll see what happens next week. Good luck to everyone having a bet, and if you do so, make sure you do it responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. Let's get straight into the round now. So the game you've already heard my best bet on is Roosters hosting on paper, but playing the Eels in Mackay, with the line being Parramatta -4.5-point favourites. And as you know, my best bet is taking the +2.5 in the first half with the Roosters $1.88. The Eels won this matchup the first time around, which was, I think, about 10 weeks ago now. And of course, that was a game you may remember where a late and high shot on Teddy was really the catalyst that sparked this whole head-high crackdown, because the refs missed it on that occasion. And then, as we've seen, the ripple effects of that ever since. Maybe there's a little bit of revenge factor for the Roosters losing that game and having that high shot on Teddy that wasn't seen. Speaking of the Roosters outside backs, Teddy is still there, but they lost Billy Smith and Ikavalu to serious injuries. And you consider that they lost Suali in training a few weeks ago. BMOZ, of course, retired. Yet I look at the Roosters outside back five, it's still pretty strong. Adam Kieran is a very capable replacement. He comes into the centres. Josh Morris returns to the team and plays centres as well, which actually slides Manu to the wing. And funny, thinking about Joey Manu, who I think's had an under-the-radar outstanding season, the first moment I ever remember of Joey Manu was a Friday night game against the Eels many years ago when he was barely known, just breaking onto the scene for the Roosters. And they were playing the Eels, and if you recall, Bevan French, who was an absolute speedster, took an intercept, was gone for a length of the field try. I thought, well, that's a certain try. He's one of the fastest men in the games. And this young fella, Joey Manu, ran him down. And always remember him for that. And Manu's got many strings to his bow beyond pure speed, but he's a superb athlete. And I actually think playing on the wing for the Roosters in this one is very interesting, because I'm sure he'll get a roaming role as well. Takiaho returns, as I referenced before. The Eels lose Niokore, but Opacic returns from a rest for Parramatta Club. I think it's going to be a really good game. I touched on the top four implications because the Eels have such a tough run home. Obviously, Roosters this week, Souths next week. Then they play Manly after that. They're still in the box seat because they've got a strong plus minus and they're 2 points ahead of the Roosters. But we don't know when Moses is coming back. So the sides that are in fifth and sixth in the Roosters and Manly definitely kind of smell blood in the water and see that opportunity to overtake the Eels. So I think the Eels will be up for this. I do think they'll rebound from the loss to the Raiders. But it's just that I equally think the Roosters are going to be very strong here. We're at Hargraves 250th. And I think it's going to be such a good game because I think we've got really strong forward packs. They're going to match each other. And then for Parramatta, like Reid Marnie, Dylan Brown, Gutho will play off the back of it. But equally, when we look at the Roosters, you've got Verrills, Sam Walker, Teddy can pose a threat. Manu, that X factor that I referenced. So I just can't say that the Eels should be clearly better. I have a market prediction that this line will close under 4 points when the game kicks off Thursday, and we'll be sitting with a halftime line of +2.5 when the full game line might be +2.5. Let's move to the next game. This is the second game of the round, the Tigers hosting the Warriors at Suncorp Stadium, and the Warriors are now catching +6.5, and that's been a major line move. Now, I'll start with the designated home team when I talk about ins and outs, even though the more significant news is on the New Zealand side. Alex Twole and Sean Bloor are in for the injuries of Garner and McKaylee. The Tigers actually weren't that bad, losing by 20 points to a full-strength Manly, just a little bit outclassed there, really. The Warriors last week were up against it from the beginning, and that was my prediction. I had two best bets on them, the mixed matchup, and I can't remember if I actually described how we went last week, so let me, of course, always do that housekeeping. 3-2 last week on best bets, and two of them was the Rabbitohs over the Bunnies. We won the mixed matchup, which is the ninth win from the last 10 weeks, and that was $3.25, the most popular and most heavily backed mixed matchup of the year. I touched on all these in the recap, but some people only listen to the preview. We lost the multi by one leg, and sitting at 66% best bets and plus over $2,800 in profit if you're having 100 on everything. Sorry, I just shoehorned that in there because I forgot to cap that at the start. And that, you know, our weekend last week hinged on the Warriors getting blown out. If that didn't happen, then we wouldn't have won that really juicy mixed matchup. And as I said, it was predictable because this Warriors team is paper thin, but it's gone from bad to worse now. Now, we all knew RTS was out last week, but he was meant to be back from a head knock for this game. But I'm sure you've heard the news that, in fact, we won't see Roger in the NRL again. So I've got to give a quick tribute to Roger. He's one of my favorite ever NRL players, a superstar in every sense of the word. The way I judge how good a player is, or one of the ways as a punter, is how scared do you make me when I've got a bet against your team and then you're touching the ball. And for Roger, it was always terrifying. And conversely, if I was ever on his side, it was just a joy to watch. Or as a neutral, you just marvel at what he could do, led by his actions on the field, and achieved many great things individually and also on teams that he played in. And I really believe if Roger had been on a stronger team for the last 6 years, if he was the Melbourne Storm or the Roosters or the Bunnies fullback in the last 6 years, you know, I've no doubt he could have achieved and been recognized even more. Now, it's a bit of a shame that the Warriors, you could say, held him back. But anyway, I wish him all the best. I'm not a rugby person, but even I'd be excited to see him carving up for the All Blacks. Positive for New Zealand, it has led to them signing Walsh. It has led to them with the money to sign Sean Johnson. And there's even rumours of them being in the market for Joey Manu. So the future is bright. You know, even for someone from Brisbane, I'll say the Warriors deserve Reece Walsh more than the Broncos do. So future bright for New Zealand, hopefully. Not so much this week, though. Fenua Blake is also injured. Townsend, Leeson Armau has left early to New Zealand as well. Lodge is out. Murchie is out. Katoa is in concussion protocol. So they've named Peter Hiku actually to play 5-8 and move Nikarima to 14. We'll see if that pans out that way. Tanoa Brown, Murdoch, Masilla, and Evans all into the lineup. And the rookie Otokolo starting at 9, Tavunga to the bench. I cannot touch New Zealand with all those changes and with all those key players out. I want to say at this point, well done to all the several tipsters that are in the tripod group that were all over the Tigers -1.5, which was available on Monday straight after the Roger news. I mean, that should definitely win. And I should probably still play West right now with the line at 6.5. But it's just a principle thing for me that when the lines moved from 1.5 and it was backable Monday, even once the bookies heard the Roger news, it only moved to 2.5, which was not enough of an adjustment. I think when the further outs were confirmed Tuesday, this line was 4.5 across the board, but now 6.5. It's like too much value is being left on the table for me to still play Wes. But once again, I will say that's the advantage of being in the group, is that you may have seen somebody tip that, or one of the several guys who did tip the Tigers, and you may already be riding that. The only other positive is if you follow the tripod, you might be on our 15-1 regular season multi, which now looks like it'll be shocking if it doesn't win. We just need the Tigers to win two more games this season. They've got 5 winnable ones, and including this week, obviously they're $1.50 favorite. They still play Cows, Sharks, and Dogs twice in the final, the final month of the season. Now, the Warriors' saving grace this year is that their run home actually isn't too hard. They play no top six opponents. I think that's just going to spare their blushes, because as we saw with New Zealand when they played South last week, they didn't stand a chance. The injury toll, the adversity, the attrition of the last 2 seasons, I really don't know if I'll be backing the Warriors. I'm not going to be looking for ways to back the Warriors this year. If anything, you probably go against them, because it's just so many reasons why it's going to be hard for them to perform to their best. But we'll see what kind of resolve they've got if they can step up this week and remain competitive. But I've missed the boat there for a best bet. Let's move to later game Friday, where I do have a best bet. Brisbane hosting the Cowboys, second of a doubleheader at Suncorp. And the Cowboys are catching +2.5. But as you know, my best bet is under 26.5 first half, $1.87. Another side note, I grew up a Broncos fan. I grew up in Brisbane all my life. You know, and I celebrated as wildly as anybody in 2006 when they won the grand final. I assure you that. I was at the prelim in 2009 when we brutally lost. And I say we, because at the time, that's how I felt. Brutally lost on the final play to a Storm side that, of course, ended up winning the comp and also ended up cheating the cap. So I was heartbroken that occasion. But since we started the pod in 2015, I've had to kind of forsake my allegiance to the Broncos, and I remember watching the 2015 grand final with a bunch of mates, and to their disgust and dismay, Alex and I were cheering the Cowboys, and there were several reasons for that. We tipped the Cowboys in our first year, $7 to win the grand final. We tipped the Cows in the grand final itself. We tipped JT, Clive Churchill. And also, it wasn't actually that hard to cheer for North Queensland that night, because being Queenslanders, we loved JT so much, we felt he deserved it. So that was actually a great night for us and for the pod, and that kind of shows, like, and I know that some people doesn't sit right with them that I could cheer against the team that I, you know, supported my whole life. But for the good of the pod, I try and remain neutral. And I bring that game up because it's the same two opponents, and also how times have changed, that that was the grand final 6 years ago. And look at where these squads are now. And another reason I wasn't that heartbroken in 2015, in my mind, I said, well, this Brisbane team still has such a strong young nucleus. They're going to contend for years to come. So it's fine. They'll get back here. Doesn't always work out that way, as we've kind of seen with Canberra a couple of years ago. You just don't know. And even Penrith, you know, that had that charmed run last year. You don't know what the future holds with these things. Back to this game. Let's note the positive that both these sides were within 6 points to the Storm and Panthers, gave those two teams a scare last week. They also, Brisbane and North Queensland, played right down to the wire, and only it was only decided by a field goal in Townsville earlier this season. I mentioned Turpin has a broken thumb, is named to play. Another lineup change for Brisbane though, Flegler out 2 weeks with a suspension. The Cowboys have named the same 1-17 that really pushed Melbourne Storm. That includes Granville at fullback, which I know blew people's minds. Look, he wasn't terrible back there. He didn't disgrace himself. This match starts with a few interesting battles. In the forward pack, it's Taumalolo versus Payne Haas. And we have Taumalolo that, I can't remember the exact figures, but he's on something like an 8-year deal, $1 million a season. And then Payne Haas is this man vying for a similar or bigger deal. And in a struggling side, for Payne Haas to be having the season he is and probably in the argument for best forward in the game right now is so impressive. However, with that loss of Flegler, I actually look at the Cowboys probably having the stronger pack. I think in the when I talked at the best bet, I talked about that matchup of two halfbacks that are really trying to prove themselves, Croft versus Dearden. Obviously, that's going to be interesting, and I do think they'll be conservative and not want to make any mistakes and value possession, and also hopefully the sides will come out with a lot of defensive grit. And the guys that they're going to have to worry about is, for Brisbane, Katoni Staggs, always deadly. I talked about RTS. Staggs is that same guy that your heart's in your mouth when you've bet against him, because he seems to be able to create things out of nothing almost every time he touches it. Taulagi is trending towards being that kind of game-changing outside back for the Cowboys. I mean, he's the best they've currently got to offer with a few guys on the sideline. Outside back's edge I give to Brisbane. Therefore, I don't see a lot between the sides. My stronger lean is to the under, and I've actually got across the line with that best bet in the first half. Moving to Saturday, the Dragons play the Rabbitohs at Rocky. The line is 24.5, South Sydney favoured. So I've spoken a few times about it'll be interesting to see how the Dragons strategically deploy these suspensions. And I think it's very clear now that they are going to game the sanctions by the NRL to give themselves the best chance of accumulating points to still possibly make the eight. And I don't think the Dragons will make the eight. I think ultimately we'll look back at that moment, that barbecue, that it really has derailed them. But what I'm referring to here is that this week, Lowry, Bird, DeBellin, Maguire are all going to serve their suspensions in a game against the Rabbitohs that realistically the Dragons know even at full strength they probably wouldn't win. While they have an eye to next week against the Raiders, they'll not only be able to play all those guys, but those guys will actually come in fresh next week, and it gives them that better chance of securing 2 points in a game against another side battling for a top eight position. That's much more important. You could argue next week is like a 4-point game. So in addition to those guys sitting out, Dufty's not suspended, but they've opted for Tyrell Sloan at fullback. Corey Norman, Amone, Burns, and Farmasuli all rejoin the team as well. On the South side of the equation, Murray is serving a 1-game suspension. And something I highlighted in the recap was Reynolds and Walker both had minor injury concerns. They've both been named. But if you're looking to bet the Rabbits in this game, be aware that either one of them could easily be held out. Now, there's likely no difference on the ladder between finishing second and third, but I thought I should mention it because Souths are going to win this game, and they're sitting in third, only one loss behind Storm and Penrith. I don't know if everyone realises, South's only losses this year are to the Storm and Penrith. So they're actually right there. And of course, one plays two this weekend. It's not the blockbuster probably that we were hoping it could be. But one of those sides is clearly going to drop points there. So it keeps the Rabbitohs, you know, not out of the hunt for even the minor premiership. And we'll see. It just depends how seriously these Penrith injuries end up being as to where the Bunnies could end up and who they could end up playing in the first week of the finals. You know, I'm looking at, you know, that potential first week of the finals, Souths versus Penrith. And depending on who's available, our Quinella, $3.50 for a 2020 grand final rematch could be decided then and there. Now, in this game, I'm definitely not touching the Dragons. I've touched on the fact that I see what their intent is for this one, and it's not prioritising a result in this game. Therefore, South Sydney should make mincemeat of St George Illawarra. Saturday afternoon footy again. What we've seen all season long is these big lines, if anything, tend to climb. So there's a pretty good case to be made if you like Souths, just play them now, -24.5. The only thing that would make me wary would be that little bit of doubt over the Souths' playmakers. You might back South laying a big number and then find out like Reynolds or Cody Walker's not going to play. You may feel a little bit less confident. That's enough to keep me off the game entirely. Moving to the next one, Knights play the Raiders at Suncorp. The Raiders are a 2.5-point favourite. Look, one negative of this season, when you look at the ladder, and I'm looking closely at the ladder in these final weeks to try and understand all the implications and what's at stake, there really only are six teams worthy of making the finals, I think it's fair to say. And yet a couple extra are going to get in and probably have losing records. But the one positive is that 7th to 13th are just 4 points apart, and it makes it for an exciting finish to the season with these sides that sometimes would be in no man's land. For a lot of these teams are still in the hunt, and it creates high stakes matchups. And especially with that logjam between 7th and 13th, a lot of these sides are playing each other in the next few weeks. So it makes these games interesting. We'll really see who wants it more. Now, for the Knights, they will be bolstered by the return of Bradman Best and David Clemmer. Plus, even Mitchell Pearce is named in the reserves. That's one to monitor. He's dealing with this hamstring complaint. Newcastle was awful last week. Let's start there. We were lucky to go 1-1 on best bets. Even though they got out to an early lead, they were terrible. What I noted in the recap was that Ponga is clearly playing hurt. I even am speculating that Frizzell is not right from his ankle complaint. That makes me really wary about playing the Knights, because what you see on paper might not be what you get on the field. Similarly with the Raiders, they're going to get bolstered with some big names back. Whiten is back, Whitehead is back. They do lose Ryan Sutton. And speaking of playing through pain, I mean, Whiten has this rib or sternum injury. He's probably playing a bit hurt. Papali'i, we've got to watch because he was off with HIA, failed last game. He'll need to pass before he comes back this week, but he is named. What the Raiders have going for them more than anything is this real confidence off three underdog wins. I spoke about that in the recap as well. If you'd multed them the last 3 weeks, you're talking 50-1 to win those last three games, underdogs in each and every one of them, and impressive. And at this point in the season, I really feel a big part of your handicapping goes beyond ability, and you've got to start looking at like which squads are still enthusiastic, which squads are still fighting and putting in. That's always the case late in the season in what I'd call the dog days for the non-contenders. But even more so in a year where there's been additional adverse conditions, it's so easy for a side to kind of get off track, and only the teams that are really tight and focused are going to triumph. The sides that have cracks, those cracks could open up. And that's what I worry about with Newcastle, because on paper, they're the stronger side here. So they should be the side we're playing. I'm saying should. You know what else? The Knights should have been a lot better last week, and they were terrible. And it's admirable that KP's toughing it out. I do wonder if there's voices in his head. Like, Ponga gets a bit of criticism. I don't know if it's all fair, but people say he's soft, or, you know, he had quite a few injuries in his NRL career already. Plus, there's that talk he might be signing like this new mega deal with the Knights. So I wonder if he's playing through this injury, because it's not so much a concern he can make it worse, but it's just like a pain tolerance one. The problem is when it's clearly affecting his performance, then what are you really gaining? Also worth mentioning, this is a rematch from earlier in the year where we were on the Knights with a best bet and they were down 16-0 but came back and won. Does that mean a bit of revenge factor for the Raiders? All in all, I still, if I have to play this game, I'll take Newcastle and I'll trust that they'll be better than last week. And, you know, maybe they win as underdogs and I'll feel dumb for not being on them. sometimes teams rebound off awful performances, but sometimes you see a performance that was awful that you weren't expecting and there's underlying issues. And that's what could be the case with Newcastle. We'll see, but I won't risk my money or our record on it to find out. Move to what should have been such a good game, but it may not be now. The Storm playing the Panthers at Suncorp Stadium, and the line is 18.5. The Storm are favoured by. It's a real shame. I mean, this could have been one of those all-time regular season clashes, because there were points in the season where we were using the word historical to describe both of these clubs, you know, in terms of how dominant they've been. Unfortunately, since round three, this collision course just took too long, and now it's a bit of a mismatch. You know, I asked Tristan about 3 months ago, could he put in context how strong this Penrith side is and how much better they are seen by the bookies compared to the rest of the competition? And he said, as an example, if Penrith played Storm tomorrow, and this was about round eight, Penrith would be a -6 favourite. Here we are, 12 weeks later, that line has shifted 24.5 points. Now, obviously, part of that is the rise of the Storm, and the other part is all the guys who are out for Penrith. In the recap, somebody asked me, surely you've got to take Penrith plus 10.5 next week. And I said, I would definitely wait to see who's out. Well, we'll get to who's out. Obviously, a lot of the key players for Penrith are out, and that's why the line is what it is. I want to quickly touch on the last two times these sides met. In the grand final, Alex and I really saw it as a 50-50. And we only took Penrith in the grand final because you could get them as a slight underdog. I think we ended up taking plus half a try and either team 1-10. Now, in hindsight, we've all seen the grand final. You probably have to say Melbourne should have been the side. But let's also remember that first half of the grand final was just such a blitz. It was crazy. It included a length of the field intercept try. It even included a try on the stroke of halftime where Cam Smith had the ball ripped out, picked it up again, planted it. In saying all that, I think Penrith's comeback was very fortuitous too. There was a try Penrith scored that should have never been given. There were some pretty soft sin bins. So who knows, if we would have played the 2020 grand final again without the nightmare start, it could have been different. But came out of that grand final thinking those two teams were actually pretty evenly matched. Now, when we went into round three this year and I saw that the grand final rematch was on and in Penrith, I knew 100% I was going to be on Penrith in that one. Always want to be on the team, looking for revenge, and I felt Penrith was every bit as strong this season. Then if you remember, if you cast your mind back to round three, which is the last time the Storm lost a game, Cleary was ruled out for that one. So then I kind of was hesitant. Well, I know how important Cleary is. Maybe I can't play Penrith. Then Pappenhausen was also ruled out later that day. And then I felt, all right, that's kind of offsetting. Now I can get Penrith as an underdog. I'm going to take Penrith. Again, the pod won that game, and even in the grand final, we had plus half a try, and it was actually four tries each, even though the Storm won 26-20. So that's where sometimes picking that right market can be the difference. I'm not going to claim that I was right in round three when I was on Penrith, because if you recall, that one came down to the wire. Now, of course, now I've referenced the last two times these teams played, and a grand final is 100 times more important than a round three match. But I still feel like the Storm are going to be the ones seeking revenge, because that's the last game they lost and they just want to prove a point against everybody. So let's talk about the Storm. Big Nelson is out, but you return Munster, Finucane, and Kalfusi. Even Harry Grant is on the extended bench. To be honest, they don't need him in this one. You've got the boost of Bellamy just announcing that long-term deal to stay. You know, I think one of the big reasons he's done that, clearly, when he may have been happy to retire, is like, he has an elite roster, he has an elite culture, and he's built that. And as a coach, like, why wouldn't you want to keep working with him? That's what you strive to have, and he's got it. So why leave a dream job that's all of his making? And I don't think anybody tries to degrade Bellamy by saying, well, he only won or had all that success because of the big three. There should be no doubt over his coaching ability. But maybe it would mean something to Bellyache to win one or more comps in Melbourne without any of the big three. So that's a huge coup for Melbourne to secure his future long term. As for Penrith, that they're in a precarious position in the competition right now. To'o is going to be out for around 6 weeks, needs ankle surgery. Yeo will miss this game at least for concussion. Tyrone May has a knee injury. Fisher-Harris has left the bubble for family reasons, but he will be back for the finals, as I understand it. Cleary, still rehabbing the shoulder, won't return this week. Coruscant, still suspended. If there's a positive for Penrith, it's that none of those guys are out for the season, and in theory, they should all be back before the finals. And in addition to that, they've got that cushion on the ladder because they had so many wins earlier in the year. And as I said, it could be now really looking like a Souths Penrith week one of the finals game. And the winner of that is going to be on the opposite side of the draw and get a week off and play in a prelim. And that could be our Quinella bet right there. So sorry, I seem to have spoken on everything other than this match itself, but that's because I just think the Storm will win this game so easily, especially after a bad performance against the Cows. You know they're going to lift. And if this line had been anything kind of under 14, which it certainly was earlier this week, I would be playing it, but it's just gotten away from us now. Now, you can say Penrith's off a bad game too, but the bigger difference is they're now without so many key players. I think all Ivan can really ask of his troops here is big effort, and even if they bring a big effort, it won't be enough for me. I also wouldn't be looking at stats like Penrith and Storm being top two in defense in the comp because this clearly is not a full-strength Penrith side. Now, touching on that, I still want to shout out Matt in our group, The Undertaker, and he has tipped unders in this game. So I hope for his sake and anyone tailing that the Panther Cubs can hang tough in this one, but I'm just not sure. Let's move to another game I've got a best bet on. This is on Sunday. The Dogs play the Titans, but it's at Cbus Stadium, and the Titans are minus 13.5 on 365. Every bookie's either at minus 12.5, 13.5. Pretty interchangeable, but several spots you can get on my best bet of minus 12.5 at $1.91 or $1.90, or even juicier if you've got a button available. Thompson getting that three-match ban. If you look back at the Bulldogs' performance against the Sharks, that game really snowballed when he was sent to the bin. Only other change for the Dogs is Flanagan gets a recall, Lachie Lewis forced back into the reserves. On the Titans side of things, Jamal Fogarty has a chance to return. He's in the reserves as well, and that would be a boost at halfback there. I spoke about this already. The Gold Coast played quite well against the Dragons, albeit St. George Illawarra was very weak. I said at the time their season was on the line. I'm telling you now, this will be like the fifth time I say it, the Titans' season is on the line here against the Bulldogs, because if they don't win this, they're not going to make the eight. You just cannot drop the game in this point of the season with who they've got coming up. And I talked about it before, but like the best two teams in the comp right now is Melbourne and Souths when you consider Penrith's injury. So you could not have a tougher back-to-back. Gold Coast cannot rely on getting any points from those next two games. Therefore, they must get back-to-back victories this week, and then they'll close the season with two winnable games, and they could be in striking distance. And those games are against other sides that could be in contention. So quite simply here, fully focused Gold Coast. I think the Pack will get control over the Dogs, and then players like Tyrone Peachy and AJ Brimson should cash in. I'm also going to use this game as a second part of my mixed matchup for round 20. And you heard my very first best bet is taking the Roosters against the Eels. And I'm going to also say that the Roosters will outscore the Canterbury Bulldogs at $2.25 this round. Now, I actually think this will be a defensive battle of a mixed matchup. I don't necessarily think the Roosters will score a lot of points against Parramatta. I respect their defense, and I could see that one being quite a tight game. I'm really anticipating Roosters can get around the 20-point mark, and that's going to give me enough confidence that we can get home in this one because of those reasons I referenced. So there's no reason that the Titans should give up a lot of points. I think they need to back up their defensive effort that they had against the Dragons and dominate the match against the Dogs and restrict the Dogs to a low total. This is the worst attacking team in the competition after all, and we're getting over $2 odds that a side with the class of the Roosters will outscore them. All you're going to have to rely on is the Titans' defense, and yes, that is something that is not very reliable, but given the situation and the spot and the conditions, I think that the Titans should, yeah, totally control this match. So we're going to parlay our edge that we've got in each of those best bets that we believe we have, and we're going to combine those together to form this week's mixed matchup. As I said before, we've won 9 of the last 10 of these, 65% alone on mixed matchups, and these are averaging payouts of like $2.50 odds, so it's been an insane run in itself. Now, finally, we capped the round with the Sharkies playing the Seagulls at Redcliffe, and the Seagulls are a 17.5-point favourite. The huge news being Sean Johnson out for the Sharks, and I read 4 to 8 weeks, So there's no certainty we actually see him again this year, which could be really brutal. But like best case scenario for the Sharks, they're probably thinking we've got to get ourselves at least to like round 24, round 25 with a chance to make the eight still alive. And then maybe Johnson Sweet to come back, test that hammy out in round 25, especially if it's a must win. And then if he can get through that, then, you know, at least you can trust that he can bring you something into a finals game and go from there. It's kind of all gravy for any of these teams that finish seventh or eighth. The achievement itself is making the finals. You don't expect much after that. But I know a lot of people in the group are riding a Sharks top eight bet. So it still has a good chance because they're sitting seventh right now. But that Sean Johnson injury is bad because we saw what this squad was like before he came back from injuries. Now, Moylan is in the reserves, but personally, I think they should just stick with Tracy and Trindle in the halves. Let's talk about Manly. They started slow, but they comfortably handled West once they got control of that one. And you don't want to bet against Manly, in my opinion, because it seems clear to me they're still ascending, and they're just basically riding the form of a guy who's the best player in the world right now in Turbo. And this is yet another game where I actually like the favourite, but the line has moved a bit too far. This has moved more than a converted try since Monday, and that's a common theme of a few games this round. Let's say Tigers, Storm, Manly. They would have been best bet worthy if I would have played it on a Monday. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that. It's not that I'm, hopefully people don't think I'm letting you down or whatever by not tipping it, but it's just like with my work regime, my life, my pod routine, really only allows me to do my deep dive on a Tuesday night onward until the moment where I come before you guys and record this. And therefore, I'm not scanning the market kind of 24/7 and posting 24/7. And I have no doubt if I was doing that, I could find a few extra gems this season and we could be beating the market on some of these players by 6 or more points. But I have said before as well, their other issue is the earlier you start trying to play these games, like you start trying to get on them Sunday night or Monday, the bookies are very sensitive in their line movement. So I could tip something and the reality is it's going to move really significantly, really fast. And they're also, the bookies hold, like allow lower limits for those bets too. So the truth is, while the record could be even better, it's arguable how many of you guys would be gaining an advantage from that, even if I was tipping earlier in the week. So I try and keep it simple to follow the pod and try and just share my best bets on the Wednesday night and leave the door open if I really feel I need to add anything because of a market or information change. I can add that Thursday or Friday. And hopefully that's simple enough for you guys to follow. And really, that also highlights what makes our winning percentage this year of 66% so crazy, because I'm coming to you on a Wednesday when every other sharp punter in Australia has the opportunity to have a crack and pick at these lines before I do. So I don't really get the advantage of betting on the back of a news break or breaking news to gain a few points of value. But as I always say, I love the fact that people that follow can really be successful punters. So if you've followed for many years, you've probably learned where to spot value, and there's nothing stopping you capitalizing yourself. If you do get wind of some news that you kind of know is going to move a line, then you know how to execute and how to pull the trigger. My summary, I do think Manly will coast and win this, and anything other than that will be quite surprising. I just haven't gotten on quickly enough to get a best bet worthy price or line, in my opinion. But that will wrap round 20, guys. Again, enjoy all the sporting action, of course, Olympics, as well as these footy games which kick off tomorrow night. Let me know what you reckon about everything I've said or add any insights of your own. And as always, gamble responsibly. Lego.